Welcome to Couples Therapy in 7 Words. I am your co-host, Judy Alexander, and I'm here with my husband, Dr. Bruce Chalmer.
Well, hello, Judy, and hello, listeners. And our topic for today is...
What happened to our sex life?
Whoa, what happened to our sex life? I can't resist putting in, we're not talking about our sex life. We're not going to talk about that, folks. That's between us. But I will say that this is a topic that comes up in my practice a lot, which is why I think it's a good thing to talk about. Couples will come to see me, and you know, it's funny, it doesn't always come up in the first session, but I ask about it routinely, and it is very often the case that couples are, you know, consulting me about something, some sort of difficulty they're having, but when I ask about their sex life, I will then proceed to hear a story about how, you know, maybe at one time they had a good sex life, but it is either... not much or non-existent now. So we're going to be talking about that. Before we do that, we want to, first of all, invite you to let people know about this podcast. Do the things that people do to do that. That means comment on our posts, comment on our episodes, subscribe in the places where you get your podcasts, or sometimes I think it's follow in some places, depends on where you can get your podcast. And of course, just tell your friends, let people know about our podcast. And the other thing before we get going on our topic is we're going to put in a brief commercial word for the book I wrote that is our sponsor. So the book that I wrote is called Reigniting the Spark, Why Stable Relationships Lose Intimacy and How to Get It Back. And I thought what we could do is let you know some of the topics that are in the book, and that might just interest you in going and getting a hold of the book and letting us know what you think. So Judy, why don't you mention some of the topics that are in there, especially, and I'm sort of springing this on you, especially some of the topics you find sort of intriguing as we've talked about them over the time we've been doing this.
Yeah, well, some of the things that I think would be of particular interest for couples are trauma and relationships,
mm-hmm.
getting a hold of yourself, panic and its effects, why get married,
mm-hmm.
sex, good sex, and sacred sex, and of course, infidelity.
Indeed.
So those are some of the biggies, I think, that seem to come up a lot in couples therapy.
They sure do. And of course, the whole basis of the book is the basis of this podcast as well, Couples Therapy in 7 Words. The 7 words are...
Be kind, don't panic, and have faith.
And the book is organized around that. And so if you find any of these podcasts interesting, I think I can virtually guarantee you will find the book very interesting as well. It's available anywhere books are sold. You can ask your local bookstore to order it for you. You can get it online from any of the big online sellers. You can get it in the form of paper or as a Kindle from Amazon or as an audiobook. So we invite you to do that. And now, back to our podcast. So, Judy, our topic today is what happened to our sex life?
Mm-hmm.
And I was... thinking about, I mean, let me turn it over to you for a second, you know, just in terms of, you know, I'm the one that sees couples as a therapist, but, you know, you talk to folks, you talk mm-hmm. to your friends. What are some of the things that come up in your experience that people talk about that are kind of issues around this?
Usually it's kids. Not having any energy after working a full day and taking care of kids.
Mm-hmm.
Stress is often a big factor.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're hearing a lot of that now in the pandemic. I'm also hearing good things about people's sex lives in the pandemic. Some of them have gotten better.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, you know, there's more time.
Uh-huh.
You know, more time.
I've heard that too from some couples. Mm-hmm. It is quite interesting. Yeah. And I don't think that's the majority of the folks I talk to, but of course they're coming to see me because they're having problems.
Right.
But I have heard that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, sometimes I think it's just they're done, you know?
Mm.
Some people say, well, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And either through because of menopause or been with the same partner for so many years, nothing new to discover.
Yeah.
Heard that one.
Uh-huh.
that's a little sad, if you ask me.
I do think it's sad. I mean, certainly the whole idea of our talking about this is coming from a place, certainly in my practice, where it sure does seem, and I'm not just making this up, there's all kinds of research on this, couples that have an active sex life, and of course the causality arrow points in both directions. Couples that have an active sex life tend to be happier with each other, and couples that are happier with each other tend to have a more active sex life. I will note perhaps the obvious, which is, you know, when you talk about some couples who are just done, there are plenty of couples who are done and aren't unhappy about that. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
They have all kinds of ways of being affectionate.
Right.
I don't cast any judgment about that at all. There's no reason that sex per se has to be part of a couple's life if they don't want it to be. If they're happy without it, that's fine.
And if both of them are fine with it, you know, then it's not a problem.
Yeah, exactly. But what's so interesting is that in couples that have been sexual with each other, when a sex life can be reestablished, it goes along with their doing better. And as I say, the causality arrow points both ways. You know, it's not just that when they're getting along better, they're more inclined to want to have sex with each other, which is usually true. It's also true that when they're having sex with each other, they tend to get along better.
Mm-hmm.
It does tend to go both ways.
Do you hear other reasons, you know, in your practice other than the ones I mentioned?
Yeah, I do. And, you know, as I was thinking about this in preparation for this this podcast, I was realizing, you know, there are three categories. I'm sure these aren't the only ones, but these are the ones that occurred to me. Three categories of reasons why a couple's sex life can just kind of go flat. And the first category, I really want to be careful not to undervalue or underemphasize, because, you know, I'm a psychologist and I work as a couples therapist, right? So I'm all about relationships. I'm all about, gee, what's going on psychologically? But as, someone we interviewed in one of our earlier podcasts, which I, by the way, highly recommend to you. If you like this one, you'll like that one too. Batsheva Marcus, Dr. Batsheva Marcus. She is a sex therapist in a women's health center in New York City. And she pointed out in reading a first draft of my book, actually, that I was pretty seriously underemphasizing the medical aspects. There are medical mm-hmm. reasons.
Right.
Especially for women. And of course, she was pointing this out from the context of working in a women's health center. She works with women. That there are medical reasons why somebody's libido can just kind of go flat. And either it could be libido per se. It could be for a lot of women, various kinds of pain or discomfort that there are medical solutions to. So I don't want to leave that out. It's an important thing. And I do ask people about that as well. There are also, assuming it's not something medical, then there are also what I call situational, and that's what you were talking about, like the kids. You know,
right.
Lots of couples I work with are saying, you know, the kids are pretty much in earshot. We don't want to be making noise. We don't want them to be walking in on us. That sort of thing. You talk about being stressed and tired and the kind of things that happens, especially with young children. Mm-hmm. People are just, mm-hmm. you know, they just haven't got much energy.
Right.
Or very stressful work situations or things of that sort. So there are the situational things. And then, of course, there's the stuff that I tend to specialize in, which is the relational. They're not getting along. If they're not getting along, you know, it's interesting when I think back over the last 25 years of practice or so, every once in a great while when I ask about a couple's sex life, and, you know, they're, as I often point out to people, nobody's ever made a first appointment with me just to tell me how well things are going,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
People are coming to see me because they're having a problem. So they're telling me about their problem, and I end up, if they haven't already said, I'll generally ask, gee, how's your sex life? And every once in a while, a couple who's having serious problems will say, well, actually, that's the one bright spot. You know, we do fine sexually. It's everything else that's driving us nuts. You know, isn't that interesting?
Yeah,
you wouldn't think so.
Right.
But I will say that's the exception, not the rule. Much more often, what people are telling me is, you know, we seem to fight about just about anything and everything, and it's all trivial stuff. So apparently there's something else really bothering us, but we haven't gotten to that. And, oh, incidentally, yeah, we haven't had sex for a year and a half or mm-hmm. 5 years or whatever it is, or we almost never have sex. And, you know, then what seems to happen to a lot of couples is it turns into this thing, you know, it turns into it's awkward to know how to initiate, or there's a real common set of circumstances. It can happen gendered in any direction. You know, I've seen this happen with straight couples, gay couples. You know, it varies a lot. I don't mean to claim, by the way, that in general heterosexual couples and gay couples, you know, and gay males and lesbians have all the same things. There's lots of patterns that tend to be pretty specific to each of those pairings. But having said that, this particular phenomenon I've seen all across the board, where something goes wrong, and for whatever reason, the couple just doesn't seem to know how to handle it. And the quintessential situation there is, for whatever reason, somebody just doesn't want to have sex when the other one does, or a variation on that one. They're having sex and something just goes wrong. You know, if it's a heterosexual couple, the man's penis just doesn't cooperate. And, or the woman just for whatever reason, just can't seem to get into it. You know, there's a variety of themes there. And if the other person takes that personally, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. A quintessential example in a heterosexual couple is the man's penis doesn't cooperate and the woman thinks, oh no, you don't love me, or you don't think I'm attractive. Mm-hmm. That can be a beginning of a disastrous spiral.
Yeah.
Because then it becomes a trial instead of just fun.
Right. And then stress brings on more stress. And then, you know, is it going to happen again? And
absolutely. Yeah. And that is one of the least sexy thoughts that anybody can have. You know, this sense of, uh-oh, if I don't perform right, you know, he or she's going to be angry or hurt or whatever. And so, you know, the solution to all of these problems in general, and this, of course, is an overgeneral statement, but this is kind of the solution, is to learn how to handle that stuff with grace and compassion and relaxation and even some humor sometimes, to learn how to be gracious about it. Because that's the way out of the mess. You know, then it stops being a trial when you know, get together with someone and just becomes what it is. It's a lovely way of expressing love and affection and enjoyment. And it's not so centered on, uh-oh, this better go right or we're in big trouble.
Well, there's your don't panic.
Exactly.
You know?
That's funny. I think you've read my book. You must have read the book.
It's pretty good advice, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, this is a good place to bring in our listener question this week. As you know, those of you who are regular listeners to our program, we do solicit questions from our listeners. And every once in a while, we get some that fit our programs. And we got one this week from Katie, and it's perfect for our topic. So Katie writes, "Dear Dr. Chalmer, I'm a 42-year-old nurse anesthetist, and I work at a large, busy hospital. I have been married for 15 years to my college sweetheart, Frank. We have 3 children, ages 8, 5, and 2. Frank is a physical therapist and is working part-time. Our 2 older children are in school, and our 2-year-old goes to daycare part-time on the days Frank works. As you can imagine, even when we weren't in the midst of a pandemic, things were pretty hectic. This past year has been really stressful on all of us. For about a year after I had each of our children, he and I didn't have much of a sex life, but then things usually picked up. I figured I had a low libido, and I didn't think much about it because I know that hormones can do that to women. But now that our youngest is 2 and my libido has returned, Frank doesn't seem to have any interest in sex. I'm not sure if it's the fact that he's afraid of getting COVID or infecting anyone in my family with the virus, or stress, or getting COVID either from me or one of my kids or patients, but he doesn't feel like having sex. Ever. I don't know if this matters, but he told me he has never masturbated, even as a teenager. Is this normal? Is there something I should be doing?"
Wow. So. Yeah.
Okay, so how are we going? We're going to help Katie solve problems here.
Yes, exactly. I think the part that she put on at the end there is fascinating to me. I will tell you, I have heard this, not a lot, but I have heard this in my practice. And the first time I heard it a long time ago, it was surprising to me. And now I never want to say nothing surprises me anymore.
Yeah.
Just when I say that, something comes along and surprises me. So now I don't even think that. But it certainly did surprise me the first time I heard about a man who had never masturbated.
Yeah, I can't. Well, number one, I can't believe that. But, you know, I'm not going to doubt her. But, wow.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I do believe it.
Yeah. Well, you probably have heard it. I never have.
I have heard it. And look, this is, you know this about me. I don't know if our listeners do. Before I was a psychologist, I was a statistician, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking just because something is rare doesn't mean it never happens.
I guess so.
And, you know, the I don't remember the numbers, but the research I've seen on the percentage of men who masturbate is not 100%. It's pretty high. It's in the 90s, I think, but it's not 100%. So there are other such men. And the reason I thought that was an interesting thing for her to add, as they say, I've heard this from some folks, you know, that I've worked with, is there's an implication there that whatever kind of sex they were having, it suggests, I can't say this for sure from her letter, but it sure does suggest they haven't talked about it much.
You know,
it seems like whatever they were doing for sex, I'll bet it was the kind of thing that happens for a lot of couples, especially as they're together for a while, that they sort of default to the stuff that doesn't carry any risk with it. And I don't mean risk of disease or something like that. No, for heaven's sake, be careful, you know, practice safe sex. I mean risk emotionally, you know, they don't suggest things that they've thought of that they're not sure that the other person is okay with, and they're not even sure that they themselves are okay with. But that's how you keep a sex life alive. It's like, you know, we've never tried this, but what do you think? You know,
well, it also sounds like you're saying they never talked about it. So that gets to they should read your chapter on intimacy, you know, stability and intimacy.
Yes, indeed.
You know, because it looks like they've had stability, but they haven't dealt with the intimacy issues.
Yeah.
You know, she just kind of assumed, you know, her libido went away for a year, and we didn't talk about it, it seemed. You know, that's the subtext. We didn't talk about it, but we knew it would happen and come back.
Mm-hmm.
Although I'm going to say in this situation, that gets back to what you said earlier with Batsheva, there could be something medically going on with Frank, you know, that they hadn't thought about. So that's something that they should be talking about, and he should see a doctor on that.
It certainly could be true, yes. I mean, low testosterone tends to be associated often. Not one, you know, it's not a perfect correlation, but there is some correlation with libido there,
but
indeed.
That's something that they shouldn't rule out.
Absolutely.
In other words, so that should be definitely in the equation, Katie, figure out if there's something medical.
Yep. And then, you know, absolutely the medical stuff, the situational stuff, you know, because remember I said earlier, I was talking about medical, situational, and relational, you know, the situational stuff she talks about, it's like, well, three little kids and a pandemic and stressful jobs and who knows what else. And that makes sense too.
Right.
And then there is the relational. And that's where I think what you're reading between the lines when you're saying she didn't have much libido for a year after a birth.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I am not, as you know, I am no expert. The way Batsheva is, for example, she is an expert on this stuff. I'm not. I'm not an expert on the medical aspects of what happens to women's hormones after birth. But I don't think that is the norm, that it would be a year after a birth before a woman's libido would pick up, except for the situational stuff. So, you know, I'm not saying it's unusual. I'm just saying.
Well, maybe she was tired and breastfeeding and, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying it's all libido, but it just could also have been situational as well.
Yeah.
And then after a year, maybe the kid stopped breastfeeding and she was ready to, you know, resume a normal sex life.
Yeah, it could well be true, but you were noting earlier, it just seems like they weren't talking about it.
Right.
You know, Frank wasn't saying, you know, anything we can do to sort of pick this up. And of course, there's all kinds of things a couple can do to pick up their sex life if they both want to, without having to restrict themselves to things they may not feel like doing. For example, as I keep quoting Batsheva, don't I? She often points out, you know, the intercourse is not the only way to have sex.
Right.
It just isn't. There's all kinds of other stuff you can have fun with and enjoy. And I say have fun, I don't mean to make it superficial. To have deeply wonderful, affectionate ways of interacting sexually that don't happen to be intercourse. But of course, to think of that or do it, you have to be willing to talk about it.
Right.
And lots of couples, indeed, are, especially when they're in a stable relationship, they don't want to rock the boat. And what happens is they tend to avoid the anxiety that happens when somebody's thinking, gee, I want to suggest this, but I don't know how he or she's going to react. Mm-hmm. And that can be, well, what I call it in the book is the death spiral for passion.
Right.
That often happens as, in fact, that's kind of the subtitle. It was the publisher that came up with it. You know, why stable relationships lose intimacy and how to get it back. That's the subtitle of the book. Stable relationships lose intimacy through this death spiral, as I call it, rather dramatically, when they aren't willing to risk the anxiety of being emotionally honest. And that is so relevant to a sexual relationship. You know, the fact that the only way to keep it alive is to feel like you're alive. And that means not just always doing the same thing, always doing it the same way, never fantasizing or sharing your fantasies with each other.
Right. And, you know, we're reading a book called The Guide to Getting It On, right? I don't remember the author. That's the problem with Kindle, is that...
You know what I'll do? I will, folks, I will put this in the on Podbean, which is our sort of home host for our podcast. I will put a link to that book on there, so we'll look up the author and get the information on there.
Yeah, because he does bring up a lot of these situations that you were just talking about, you know, about different ways of having sex and talking to each other. And you know, I think he's a sex education teacher.
I think so, yeah. And his book is used in colleges, universities,
right,
all over the place.
Yeah. So, mm-hmm. I recommend that to Katie and Frank, mm-hmm. as well as your book, because, like you said, it does address a lot of these questions about the death spiral for passion, dealing with intimacy issues, and basically how to build your relationship and reignite that spark, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because it sounds like Frank and Katie have a nice history going on, and we'd like to see things work out better for you, Katie.
Absolutely.
Okay, so if you have any questions that you would like us to read on the air, we would love to hear it, as well as topic suggestions for upcoming shows. So you can always email us. You can write to Bruce@BruceChalmer.com or visit the website BruceChalmer.com.
And when you visit the website, you can find your way over to the podcast tab, and there you will find, first of all, you can listen to our podcasts from there, and you can also suggest yourself or someone else, actually, as a guest to for us to include. And we even put on a link there where you can set up a time. We set up a link that goes to my calendar, and it'll give you available times to set up, and you can let us know. When you do that, there'll be a question that'll pop up. It'll ask, gee, what would you like to talk about? And that'll give us an indication as to whether we think you'll be a good guest on our show, and we hope you will. We enjoy that. If you listen to our previous episodes where we've interviewed guests, they have been a lot of fun, and we've interviewed some really interesting folks, and we hope perhaps you or someone you know will be among some of our future interviewees.
Mm-hmm.
So, Judy, tell folks about some of the upcoming topics we're going to be touching on in future weeks.
Okay, so our upcoming topics include marriage versus living together, and intimacy in an era of hookups. And again, if there are topics you'd like us to address, please write us.
And so now, before we close, we're going to include another commercial for the book.
So the book is called Reigniting the Spark: Why Stable Relationships Lose Intimacy and How to Get It Back.
And it is available any place you can get books. It's listed in the catalogs of bookstores, so they can always order it for you. You can get it online as well. And what we hope you will do when you get it, regardless of where you get it, if you are so willing, if you are so moved, we would very much appreciate a review on Amazon.com, because that is often how folks find books these days. Mm-hmm. You might consider that fortunate or unfortunate, but that's how it's often done.
And as some of our reviewers have pointed out, you don't need to read this book if you're in a troubled relationship. Many of them have said in any relationship, you know, that there are great pointers in it that can be of enlightenment to just anybody.
And I think, you know, particularly relevant to today's topic, actually, because a lot of people find, you know, that's one of the points that I make in the book, you know, you can have a nice feeling like your relationship is good and your sex life is good, and then discover through understanding more about the idea of intimacy in general, that your sex life can be raised to whole new levels because you're willing to tolerate that anxiety of even thinking of some variation that you hadn't thought of and proposing it to your partner. And it's a way for people to get to know each other even better and deepen their relationship as well.
Mm-hmm.
So this podcast, as you know, is called Couples Therapy in 7 Words. The 7 words are...
Be kind, don't panic, and have faith.
And we hope you will let people know about this podcast. I've been noting week by week, our average daily number of listeners has been increasing, which is really great. We're hoping this will go viral in a good way as opposed to COVID-19, which we hope will peter out. We want this to go viral in a good way. And, you know, it's mathematically, it's the same math. Anyway, don't get me started. So in any case, until next time.
Remember, be kind.
Don't panic.
And have faith.